Hey, it's that time of year for those of you, God forbid, you got to keep your New Year's resolution. What if you're a timeshare owner and you want to get out of your timeshare? Maybe that's at the top of your list, or maybe you made a bad investment over the years. It doesn't matter. Let not your heart be troubled, because the new year is also a reminder that you can get serious about getting rid of this timeshare and doing it right and doing it legally. And Lone Star Transfer is absolutely an amazing group of people. From beginning to end, I highly recommend, if you have any type of timeshare, I want you to contact Lone Star and tell them I told you to call. They'll give you a free, no obligation consultation, and they'll help get you out of your timeshare. They'll do it the right way, the legal way, and it will take very little effort on your part, just by calling #250 on your mobile phone and saying the keyword timeshare. That's #250 on your cell phone, keyword timeshare. You can check them out online at LoneStarTransfer.com.
You have the option to receive a one-time auto-dialed text message from iHeartMedia.
All right, happy Friday, and we've got good news to start the program off with today. Hope you had a great week. Hope you're winding down. A little weekend action coming up. Hope you're West and Wewaxation. Remember from Bugs Bunny? Anyway, we got a lot coming up in the course of the program tonight. 1 hour from now, John Solomon's going to give us put a lot of this together for us as it relates to the deep state. James O'Keefe has an investigation. You know, I think Facebook like has 2 billion users. Now, if Facebook, and again, this is James O'Keefe, he's doing undercover work. If James O'Keefe is talking to people and recording people that are saying that Facebook has an agenda to suppress conservatives, do you know the magnitude and the impact that that could have, assuming it's happening, that could have, if true, on an election? And the fact that there are people there that are describing some tactics in detail, it's a little frightening. So we'll get to that in a little bit. All right. I'm going to give you headlines, then I'm going to give you details, because it's phenomenal. Now, I know it's been quiet. I know you've been wondering. You know, we've exposed a lot of things as it relates to we started investigating the deep state in March of, what year was it? March 2 years ago, 2017. And the first thing we discovered was that there was massive abuse as it relates to the intelligence community and on, you know, gathering intelligence, unmasking individuals, no minimization, which is what is designed to do, a dramatic increase in the number of unmaskings, and also the leaking of raw intelligence, which is a crime. And we started there. And what did we find? We found a 350% increase in unmaskings as it relates to the year 2016 from the Obama administration. Then we find out, why would Samantha Power unmask some 300 people? She's the UN ambassador. This is not in her purview in any way, shape, matter, or form. Then it culminated in what we discovered, for example, with General Flynn, when we know that he was surveilled. He was illegally unmasked. We know the process known as minimization. In other words, if you're talking to a foreigner and our intelligence services pick it up, they are, if you're not talking about it, a crime of any kind, or subverting the, you know, being a sabotaging the country we love, what's supposed to happen is a process known as minimization. In other words, they don't listen to your part of the call. They minimize that. And then when they write a report, they don't identify you, the American. They're not supposed to. They would usually write up a report and refer to American. And in the case we learned with General Kelly, they identified him. That's called unmasking. That's illegal unless there's some type of crime being perpetrated. And, you know, in the case of General Flynn talking to his soon-to-be counterpart, that's called preparing to do your job. There's nothing wrong or unethical about that in any way, never charged with it. Even the people that interviewed him after the, you know, think about this. The deputy FBI director calls over, says, we're going to send over some FBI guys. Do I need a lawyer? No. You don't need a lawyer. Then Comey bragging, Mr. Integrity himself bragging. Yeah, we sent him over. Day four of the Trump administration. We wouldn't have tried to pull that crap off in the Obama years or the Bush years. We were just taking advantage of the chaos in the initial days of the Trump administration, which is a great way to what a wonderful way they treat a 33-year combat vet. Not all 33 years in combat, but he was a combat vet. What a way to treat somebody that has served his country for 33 years, a three-star. That's how we treat them. Thank you very much for your service. We're gonna tell you don't need a lawyer. Then we're really interrogating you, but we're not telling you that. And then, of course, we don't think you're lying, but we'll make you sign a paper that says you're lying because you're going bankrupt, and we're going to go after your son if you don't tell us that you lied to us. It's so disgusting, that one case alone. Crimes were committed against General Flynn. That's why this is the biggest abuse of power corruption scandal ever. Now, I'm only touching the surface. All of these interviews that have taken place, remember, we have always been wanting to see certain items. Sources have directed me many, many times. And the president has the authority at any point to release this. Why he doesn't, I don't know. But just stay there. There's an end of the story. Rest of the story. We have 302s, which are the interviews that the FBI does with individuals. They will be very enlightening. When we finally get a hold of the FISA warrants, that's going to be enlightening, too. Remember, we have some insight into it because Devin Nunes in his report and Lindsey Graham, the Grassley Graham memo, they both said the bulk of information to spy on Carter Page came from that Clinton bought and paid for with funneled money dossier with Russian lies. Now we know that Michael Cohen was never in Prague. Now we know there are a lot of lies about Michael Cohen in that dossier, as there were a lot of lies about Donald Trump. And here's where it gets interesting. Now we know because the courage of Georgia Congressman Doug Collins. So today he has unilaterally released a 268-page transcript of the deposition of Bruce Orr. Now, this is the deposition. We knew certain facts about this particular deposition. This is the deposition in which he warned in August of 2016, he says in sworn testimony, he warned the top echelon of the FBI and the DOJ, warned them about the dossier. The dossier is not verified. The dossier is not corroborated. Hillary paid for the dossier. And Christopher Steele hates Donald Trump. Now, that's in August of 2016. Now, we also know they used the bulk of the application. They used the dossier. Now, Andrew McCabe claimed this week that, well, yeah, I was satisfied in how we verified the dossier. That would be impossible. Why would it be impossible? Because Christopher Steele, the author of the dossier, doesn't believe his own dossier. Under oath in an interrogatory in Great Britain, said as much. Oh, this is just raw intelligence. Maybe 50-50. Why? Because he was under the threat of perjury himself. So I actually have now my staff, my team, and we'll probably get most of it prepared for Hannity tonight, going through very meticulously the 268 pages, also comparing it to, and this is something I think computers, I know my TV staff is listening now, you know, you can literally, you know, do word searches in documents and pretty quickly match up what where different words are used and align them together. We've already discovered a bunch of stuff that's pretty interesting. Not the least of which is, oh, there's some conflicts in sworn testimony. Now, I did a trick as a parent. I used to do this with my kids. You know, your kids get in trouble. That's fine. Every kid makes mistakes. They all get in trouble. But when you have, you know, the kids lie about it, that used to piss me off way much more. Then when you have two kids and one has one story and the other has a very different story, well, one of them's lying. So I used to say when those moments came up, I used to say to the kids, all right, sit there, stare at each other. And when you guys are ready to tell me the truth, which one's not telling me the truth, just tell me. Otherwise, you have to sit there. And it usually didn't take long. Anyway, so we have Glenn Simpson. I'll just use one small example. This was sent to me by somebody on Twitter. So I'm not this was a pickup that they had, but I think it's really important. Where Glenn Simpson, did the FBI ever reach out to you or Fusion GPS in relation to matters that Mr. Steele informed them upon? Answer, no. Question, you never heard from anyone in the U.S. government in regards to those matters, either the FBI or the Department of Justice? Answer, after the election? I mean, during the election? No. Well, what did you hear after and from whom? Well, I was asked to provide some information to the Justice Department. By who? It was a prosecutor named Bruce Orr who was following up. You know, I can't remember. It was sometime after Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, yeah, 2016, yes. Did Mr. Orr reach out to you, or did you, you know, or how did that shake out originally? I think, Chris, it was that Chris Steele knows. Okay, now we go to the testimony of Bruce Orr. Trey Gowdy, well, I need you to help me there. The, you know, election is a pretty big pivot point. Most people remember what they were doing before that and after that. Do you remember getting information from anyone at Fusion GPS before the election? Mr. Orr, yes. Mr. Gowdy, from whom? Glenn Simpson. Well, I'll get back to Mrs. Orr. Tell me about Mr. Simpson providing you information. Orr, as I recall, and this is after checking with my notes, that Mr. Simpson and I spoke in August of 2016. And I met with, and he provided me, some information on possible intermediaries between the Russian government and the Trump campaign. One of them is lying. Those two items right there conflict. Now, if lying to Congress is such a big deal, Michael Cohn, then I've got to believe that this is now going to be a big deal. Now, Bruce Orr testified to the House that Steele was being simultaneously paid by both the FBI and Fusion GPS, and Steele was working for the Russian oligarch, Deripaska, who was using Steele to get the FBI to go after Manafort, an old enemy. So we got that little nugget there. Now, here's what else we're now seeing happening. So now we have this to compare, this new testimony to compare. Now we've learned today that Michael Cohn met with Schiff staff for over 10 hours before his House Oversight Committee hearing. That would be colluding with a witness. That would, remember, Devin Nunes went to the White House. Adam Schiff had a fit. And Nunes then recused himself, even though later was found innocent of anything involving this. Now we have the same Adam Schiff that we know has colluded with Russia because we have the tape trying to get dirt on Donald Trump. The same Adam Schiff now that is prepping a witness or having his staff prep a witness. The same Adam Schiff that is making the most outrageous claims and lies that he's never been able to substantiate. And apparently, I'm being told, remember the Aspen meeting? He just happened to run upon, of all people, Glenn Simpson. But we just said hello. And he just hired the only person in the country that still believes in the phony Russian dossier to his investigative committee. Okay, by Schiff's own standards, he's done. He has no right being involved in this case. He is compromised. And by the way, if Mueller cared about colluding with Russia to dig up dirt to impact campaigns and candidates, why hasn't he asked Schiff himself about him colluding to get information on Donald Trump, dirt on Donald Trump, when he was part of that stupid hoax tape that we've been playing? Now, we have more information. My sources are telling me Sit tight. TikTok. A lot of what we've been so patient and frustrated waiting for is coming. Hey, if you're one of 34 million Americans that smokes, you know what a hassle it can be. For me, I'm out playing golf and I come back smelling like cigars. It's the smell on your hands and your breath, your clothes. But now, thanks to Juul, you don't have to worry about it anymore. Juul is a vaporizer. It does contain nicotine for a satisfying transition. Now, when I found Juul, it was a complete game changer in my life. I don't smoke any cigars any longer, and Juul was designed by smokers for smokers to be an alternative to whatever it is you're smoking. So if you're one of 34 million adults who do smoke cigars, cigarettes, pipe, whatever, well, there is an alternative to all of them. Now, to discover the smoking alternative that's like nothing you've ever tried, just visit juul.com/switchamerica. That's juul.com/switchamerica. Now, warning, this product does contain nicotine, and nicotine is addictive. So what we have is a series of new developments regarding the deep state that I think mean a lot. And we're going to, like, for example, I'll get into more detail of this. As you look at now the testimony of Orr and how it conflicts with the testimony of Glenn Simpson, how is it possible that Michael Cohen is meeting and being apparently coached by, there's only one way I would interpret it anyway, Schiff for over 10 hours, meeting with his staff before his testimony? Now, Cohen and Schiff, and I'll get into this in a minute, are providing conflicting versions of discussions that they had in advance of his congressional hearing.
So, Sean, should we have a Schiff update?
What is it?
Well, I've been reaching out to Schiff, as you know, on a daily basis.
What did he say?
Nothing. Absolutely quiet. Shifty, I mean, Schiff is quiet when it comes to coming on the Hannity show.
What a cowardly Schiff he is.
Really a shame.
Yeah, got to say that very slowly.
Very slowly. Shifty Schiff.
No, cowardly Schiff.
Doesn't give a Schiff.
Not one. No.
Not one Schiff.
No, but seriously, he's providing conflicting testimony. There's some great questions that our friend Mark Meadows has asked him. I'll get into that when we get back. Then you've got Lindsey Graham now bringing it all into play again, as he is now pledged to reboot the FISA abuse investigation. And my little birdie telling me about John Uber and Michael Horowitz. I have birdies that talk to me. And so we're doing a deep dive. Glad you're with us. 25 till the top of the hour. Thanks, Scott Shannon. By the way, Scott Shannon is killing it. This guy invented Morning Zoo Radio. Invented it. He's the creator of it. And, he left one station that apparently just tanked as soon as he left. He's the number one morning show and has been for a long time in New York City, the biggest market in the country and one of the hardest radio markets by far in the country and one of the toughest. And I'm so proud of him. And he's such a dear friend. And, he's got that set of pipes. I wish I could speak like that. Don't you love his voice? Sean Hannity is on right
now. Yeah, you sound like Rush Limbaugh.
What?
You sound like Rush Limbaugh.
What, I sound like Rush Limbaugh trying to do?
Scott Shannon.
Wait, I can do Rush. Hang on. Sean Hannity.
Yeah, that sounds exactly the same.
Yeah, that's the same one. Mm-hmm.
That's the same one.
The same one. Well,
no one can do Scott Shannon.
No one.
No, because nobody can get down that low.
Exactly.
Nobody. It doesn't matter.
The best part is that people think that it's like, the best part is that people think it's like an act. But I can tell you from personal experience. That's
no, he
how
calls
he talks.
Me. This is what he does. He's listening to the show some days. Hannity, Shannon, you lost me. I don't get it. If I don't get it, your audience doesn't get it.
Yeah, I was talking to his wife about that over Christmas.
No. The thing is, he's always been a program director. I have more program directors in my ears, and I love them all. I'm friends with every boss I ever had in this business, which is like unheard of. That never happens. And I always stay in touch and, going back to Huntsville, Alabama. I mean, we lost our friend Dave Stone a while back, who I just loved that man. And, Dave played such a big part in my career. And Bill Donovan, who owned the stations at the time, and he sold right at the right time. Oh, He really did well. I'm proud of him. Sluggo, you know, Sluggo writes you. Tell him this. I'm like, I got everybody in my ear telling me how to
He's
do my
good
radio
man.
Show. Last night, Sluggo during TV. I like it when you're slower in your opening monologue. I like it with just the hair because you put more emphasis on articulated. I mean, this is, but I always listened because I know they're usually right. You know, or Bugsy's still in my ear. Oh. And I love all of them equally, but, you know, it's kind of hard in the middle of the show getting slammed by five different people how I suck. I never want to hear.
That is not people saying that you suck. That is just constructive criticism.
Yeah, news, you know, but I'm friends with everybody. And when I've read, and people don't know this, most air talent, I'm getting off course here for a second, they can't stand criticism. They refuse to look at research. They just, because it's painful. And what they have is they do these research projects, radio and television, et cetera, and in them they have at the end of usually every study what they call verbatims, you know, verbates. And that, when they do a study, people come in and they tell you exactly how they feel about the host or about a particular segment that they were played or whatever it happens to be. And the thing that I have learned is that, number one, the feedback is always right. The audience is never wrong. They don't hold anything back. Nothing. Like the first study I ever saw about myself, Joel Lind was a guy that was working for, well, then it was Clear Channel at the time, and Sluggo was the PD, and it was a year after I was on the air locally in Atlanta. And he wouldn't share the research with me, and it pissed me off. So I broke into this guy, Arnie Katinsky's office at night because I knew he had a copy of the research. I just walked into his office. It wasn't like I broke in. And, oh, by the way, Gomez is now writing me. Gomez is another one.
He's got best friend status. That's different.
No, he's been best friends from third grade. You and Gomez now are like in love. It's unbelievable.
He's my new best friend. I'm adopting him.
You have a lot of new best friends, which cracks me up.
I love him.
All right, so literally he was screaming, love his opinions, but he just needs to calm down. He can be too aggressive and mean. Now, part of that is because of what I was used to when I listen to talk radio. I mean, you know, is, hey, get off my phone, you creep. Boom. Bob Grant or Jerry Williams in Boston. You know, for the 5 years I lived in Rhode Island, WRKO in Boston was a massive station. Gene Burns, Jerry Williams, David Brudnoy. You know, you had all these legends in radio coming out of Boston. Crazy, you know, great. But we had Barry Farber, probably the smartest guy I know. But I mean, but hands down, I got an education from Barry Farber, and I am forever in debt and grateful to him. He first let me fill in for him on his syndicated radio show. And the guy speaks like 38 languages. The guy knows history like second to none. And there was a liberal by the name of Barry Gray was on. And then, of course, John Gambling, the whole gambling dynasty. You know, all those guys that were on the air for all these years. By the way, this person that's calling me, I'll call you back. But the fact that, you know, then I, but once I read the verbatims and heard the audience, I finally learned something that changed me forever, is that the audience was right. And you start in radio and you kind of feel in your way, you know. Look at the Howard Stern movie. It's a great movie about, obviously I do a different kind of radio than Howard, but he's at the top of his game even now. I mean, I listen to him on Sirius sometimes. It's probably the best interviewer out there. And he gets away with more than anybody else, because he's Howard Stern, and nobody else, you know, everybody else will be fired in 2 seconds, and they just thankfully don't bother him. I don't want them to bother him. But Howard, when he went to, you know, different markets like I did and traveled around, I was gone from New York for what, 5, 10, 16 years before I got hired by the Fox News Channel. I was like, you know, traveling to places like Huntsville and Atlanta and Santa Barbara, California. I was all over the place, Rhode Island. And you'd see Howard go to these small markets and I identify, hey, welcome to WTW now for the weather report. We all start out like that. Everybody starts out like that. And at some point, you just got to be who you are. And the longer you're on, you know, you realize you can't fake it for 3 hours a day. I mean, I love politics and I'm a conservative. And I like to be a conservative. I am who I am. Now, it's also evolved into we do investigative journalism and we do straight news when the day calls for it. And, you know, we do strong opinion. We do even sports and cultural issues and just total BS like we're doing right now. But so I describe what I do as a talk show host is we're like every section of the newspaper where these people claim that they're journalists and they're full of crap. They just lie. So when I learned, when I read that research, I began to realize, you know what, maybe I should stop trying to copy Bob Grant and Jerry Williams and these guys that were more aggressive. And I did. And because I listened to the audience, I survived. But I also, in the process, realized, you know, finishing a show and knowing that Sluggo's not listening, or if he was listening, or if he finds out about it, I'm in trouble. I used to go in and steal the tapes of the show so he couldn't listen back to it. They used to tape him on cassette. Isn't that pretty pathetic that I did that? Why are you laughing? I don't see why. Yeah, you have to put your microphone on and pay attention. That would be a good thing.
No. I hit my on button, and then I hit my off button, and then I hit my on button because I was texting one of your friends who's actually listening right now. So you're welcome.
By the way, Sluggo just says it was J-Core, not Clear Channel at the time. I'm like, all right, whatever.
See, you're getting corrected again. Constructive criticism. Thank you, Eric.
Thank you, Eric. Yeah. Everyone's your best friend.
That's
they tell
right.
you to tell me. Tell him to do this. Tell him. Jeez.
I don't tell you to do anything. I'm just here to help.
Now I'm getting slammed by all of them. All right, let me get back to what we're learning today. So, Congressman Collins of Georgia releases the 268-page transcript of the deposition of Bruce Orr under oath now. Now we know that Schiff's staff apparently colluded with Michael Cohen's people, and they met 10 hours. Clearly, I don't believe anything else. We have to assume it's inappropriate before he gave his testimony. Well, what the hell is that about? These are the same, you know, cowardly Schiff that was all over Devin Nunes for daring to go to the White House one day and made him, you know, then filed an ethics investigation, which, by the way, cleared Devin Nunes. But in the end, remember, at the time, Nunes had to recuse himself. Now we know on top of just happened to running into Glenn Simpson of Fusion GPS in Aspen. I'm sure it was just a coincidence, just popped into him. And, of course, they talked about nothing serious at the time. And add to that the tape of him colluding with a Russian to dig up dirt on Trump that's on tape. Turns out it was a hoaxer, but he fell hook, line, and sinker the dope. And why hasn't, you know, Robert Mueller looked into that? And then now Schiff has hired the only person in the country that believes in the phony Clinton bought and paid for dossier, which in October of 2016, even Bruce Orr warned everybody about. Now that everybody was warned about it, and now that we see conflicting testimony, for example, there's one question here. Did Christopher Steele get paid by the Department of Justice? We now know for a fact he was getting paid by the Department of Justice. Or answers, my understanding is that for a time, he was a source for the FBI, a paid source. He's getting paid by the FBI and by the Clintons and the DNC at once. By the way, I wanted to say one thing. We were talking about Alabama. Horrible tornadoes. I think, 23 people died. And we're going to find a good relief place and put it up on our website. I love my friends down in Alabama. And I know the president's down there today. And now, thankfully, here's why I'm feeling better today than I have felt in a long time. It seems like all of this has stalled. It hasn't. I have been assured, yes, as a talk show host, we do investigative reporting. That's a big part of what we do for the last 2 years we've been doing it. We're the only ones pretty much that on TV investigated Barack Obama and his radical associations. But what, you know, so part of the investigative report, my sources are saying, Hannity, just sit tight. Yeah, Mueller's thing collapsed. Mueller, at some point, even though Christopher Steele was desperately, as we know from the notes of Orr, trying to communicate and get information after he's fired for lying and leaking to the FBI. Long after that, he's trying to feed information to Mueller. And part of the people he warned in August of 16 was Mueller's pit bull, Andrew Weissmann. Well, now we have an interesting thing happening. We see that a letter was sent out. We write concerning contradictions between your client, Michael Cohen, before the House Oversight Committee meeting, reform meeting, and media statements made by Adam Schiff of the House Permanent Select on Intelligence Committee. And when Cohen's media advisor, Lanny Davis, initially met with our staff on behalf of Cohen, he indicated Cohen would only be testifying before our committee. The representation, of course, did not prove accurate. In addition, he went to the Senate committee, et cetera, et cetera. Michael Cohen and Chairman Schiff seem to have provided conflicting versions of discussions they had in advance of Cohen's congressional testimony, because during his testimony before our committee, Cohen discussed how he prepared for his testimony, including talking with members of Congress. And Cohen testified that he spoke to Chairman Schiff about topics for Cohen's upcoming hearing. Jordan asked the question, what did you and Mr. Schiff talk about? Cohen, I spoke to Mr. Schiff about topics we were going to be raised at the upcoming hearings. Then in a subsequent interview on Face the Nation, Schiff downplayed and contradicted Cohn's testimony about the nature of the discussion, saying the conversations were limited to Cohn's security at the hearing. And Schiff explained, quote, the extent of my contact was just inviting him to testify and also trying to allay his concern about the president's threats against him and his family. Well, those only one of those statements can be true. They either discussed topics or they didn't discuss topics. And now we're learning today that, in fact, there was 10 hours worth of communications, as is reported, that with Schiff's staff. So Schiff is trying to lie and split hairs by saying, well, I didn't tell him, but we're finding out his staff did. Now they're demanding a complete description and account of all communications of Schiff and his staff, and a complete description and account from everybody else. Do you not? This stinks to high heaven. The whole thing just reeks of a desire, a sick, twisted, ugly desire to just take down this president at any course. Now we know for sure, we suspected that, in fact, that they were, that Fusion GPS is getting paid by everybody. I mean, it's unbelievable. The FBI's paying Christopher Steele. You know, they're getting money from Fusion GPS. They're paying. That's Clinton and DNC money paying. Everybody's paying for lies. And then they're saying, no, we verified the dossier. You didn't verify the dossier because the dossier's author doesn't verify the dossier. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And we got these new transcripts shows that Obama's DOJ colluding with Hillary Clinton's op researcher, Bruce Orr, conveying Fusion GPS material directly to Strzok and Page, we're finding out. I'm going to break all of this down on TV tonight. We're all over the place. And so this is now very, very interesting. All right, hour two, Sean Hannity Show. You know, it's really shocking. I love what Judge Ellis said yesterday. When he said, this has nothing at all to do with Trump, Russia, or collusion. You know, most people don't know this. Maybe it was 100 days that Paul Manafort worked for Donald Trump. Now, like his campaign manager. Okay, maybe 100 days. He was specifically brought in for one major task, and that was the delegate situation. If you recall at the time, a lot of intramural fighting amongst Republicans and the thought that maybe delegates would switch over to another candidate. And this is what Paul Manafort has done. He's worked for Reagan. He's worked for many Republican presidents. All the issues that are at hand here were not during the time he ever was near or worked for Donald Trump or maybe even knew Donald Trump. I don't think he knew Trump before he went to work for him. And it was, again, we go back to, okay, pay your taxes. Obviously, paying taxes is that important. And as it relates to the FARA law, this is the third conviction since 1966. What about the Democrats that were involved in these violations. We're now going to prosecute all of them, which always comes down to the dual system of justice that we have. But we have a lot of breaking news on the deep state. One is the Georgia Republican Doug Collins has now unilaterally released, and we'll go over this issue by issue tonight because there's a lot of contradictions with other testimony that is out there, including Glenn Simpson, but all 268 pages of the Bruce Orr testimony before Congress in August, which is interesting, and it's more interesting because of the contradictions. That is the very same testimony that we learned that Bruce Orr warned everybody about the dirty dossier long before they used it in the FISA application, that it was unverified, not corroborated, Hillary paid for it, and Christopher Steele hates Donald Trump. And yet they could never, anyone that says they verified it, like McCabe said earlier this week or late last week, he can't say that because the author of the dossier doesn't verify it. He, under oath, said, I have no idea if any of this is true. Now, we also have a report that Michael Cohen met with Schiff's staff, Adam Schiff, you know, cowardly Schiff himself, for over 10 hours before the House Oversight Committee hearing. That means they're prepping him for the interview. And then Schiff, you know, decides, you know, now Mueller doesn't matter. And who does he hire? He hires a former MSNBC contributor that, in fact, is still pushing the dossier as real when we know none of it was real. There's nothing that's been proven. As a matter of fact, the opposite, including about 5 or 10 issues involving Michael Cohen. He was never in Prague. You know, two hookers urinating on Trump's bed in Moscow at the Ritz-Carlton. So now he's got two guys that he's hired here. So it's like Schiff has bought full-on conspiracy theory lies in this. Now we have a piece out today by John Solomon about this Russian oligarch and the Justice Department and a clear case of collusion involving that, and how Mueller may have a conflict, and it leads directly to a Russian oligarch. And John joins us now. It gets complicated, but I want him to break it all down for us. John, welcome back. And why don't we start with, already we have found direct contradictions as it relates to Bruce Orr's testimony and Glenn Simpson's. And right now I have my staff doing a deep dive into other contradictions.
Yeah, I think the most important contradiction is that Glenn Simpson testified under oath that he never had any contact with Bruce Orr until after the election, meaning he put it in after Thanksgiving, November, December 2016. That left us all with the impression that Glenn Simpson didn't try to hijack the early investigation into the FBI and let Steele do his thing alone with Steele. We now know irrefutably that that is inaccurate and false testimony because Bruce Orr met with him on August 7th, and it's not only based on Bruce Orr's testimony. I have his handwritten notes from that meeting and his calendar notation, Bruce Orr's calendar notation and his notes from that meeting. And it is irrefutable that Glenn Simpson met before the election, before the FISA warrant was issued, and he was feeding information to Bruce Orr to get to the FBI. This is an unusual channel, right? You've got Hillary Clinton's direct vendor, the person that they paid to find dirt on Hillary Clinton and to hire the British operative Christopher Steele, and he's meeting with a senior justice official, routing his own speculative information to the investigation, and he's doing this far earlier than he testified to. And I think that's, of all the contradictions that I've seen in testimony, that's the most consequential, because that means that Hillary Clinton's directly paid campaign opposition researcher was in contact with the Justice Department in informing the FBI. That's a storyline they didn't want out there, and now it's out there thanks to Bruce Orr and his careful note-taking and his sworn testimony.
Wow, pretty unbelievable. But about how regular is it, number one, that somebody gets to read a 30-minute opening statement like Michael Cohen did, but Cohen meeting with Schiff's staff for 10 hours?
Well, we're 10 starting hours? To see a pattern here. We're starting to see a pattern here. We know that Adam Schiff met with Glenn Simpson and didn't disclose it last year at Aspen. Remember that story we broke on your show not that long ago?
Right.
We remember now we have a meeting and prepping a witness in advance, and particularly a witness whose testimony is already suspect because he's already admitted to lying to you the last time he met with you. So you got that. I bet when we're all done, we're going to find several other instances where Adam Schiff was having ex parte or away from the committee meetings with central witnesses. And and I believe some of those people might be people who had access to the dossier. I've begun to do some reporting on this, and I'm beginning to see more and more evidence of this. So why is that important? I personally think Congress should be allowed to interview and investigate anyone they want. But remember, Adam Schiff set a standard for Devin Nunes. When Devin Nunes went to the White House and didn't tell the Democrats, all hell broke loose, and Adam Schiff referred him for an ethics investigation, and Devin Nunes had to step aside from the Russia investigation at an essential time. Remember all that?
Turned
out that Devin Nunes was totally cleared. Adam Schiff was doing the same thing, and he has to hold himself at least to the same standard that he insisted we all hold Devin Nunes to. And so I think Adam Schiff's conduct away from the official investigation is going to become a bigger and bigger issue about the conduct of the Democratic leadership on House Intelligence.
I mean, this is now a real scandal. Now we're talking about maybe suborning some testimony, or at least colluding on testimony at the very least.
Right.
And then he hires a guy that believes in the dossier. Probably the only one on earth besides these nutcases on cable TV.
Yeah, no, they've got their bulldog and their lawyer. They have all of those pieces in place now. And, you know, what first statement could you make about the nature of your hearings if the first witness you bring in after you're in charge in the majority is the man who lied to you the last time they brought you for him? And so, and you bring Cohen in, and what do we now learn? There was at least one or two or three instances where Cohen lied in the new testimony. So if you're trying to start a new path and say, we're going to do a better job than the Republicans on the Russia investigation, starting with Michael Cohen and then have it come out almost immediately afterwards, he's not telling the truth about the White House job, he's not telling the truth about the pardons, sets the entire investigation back, particularly in the American public's mind. They're already tired of this investigation. And when they see that the Democrats' first foot forward was a fumbled foot, I think it's going to further create Russia fatigue, and the boy cried wolf syndrome starts to stick to people like Adam Schiff and Elijah Cummings.
It's amazing how this story is about to backfire. I do want to ask you a question about the special counsel's report, but let's get into the possibility Mueller may have a conflict that leads to the Russian oligarch that we have talked about, Oleg Deripaska, and also the Justice Department collusion. What do you got?
Yeah, so this is an old story. It's an old column that actually about a year ago we started talking about. Oleg Deripaska used his own money, $25 million.
Yeah, I had a hard time saying his name in the beginning. I remember.
I know. Oleg Deripaska. There's a lot of oligarchs. They all have hard names. Let me give you that for sure. He was approached by the FBI in 2010. He's an asset, someone that the FBI has relied on from time to time. In fact, Andy McCabe himself was directly involved in this operation. There's an FBI agent captured in Iran in 2007, and the Obama administration has done very little to get him out. And so the FBI can't get authority from the State Department to do the things it wants to do. So it reaches out to Oleg Deripaska, a Russian oligarch, and asks him, will you spend your own money, $25 million of his own money, it turns out, Sean, he spent, trying to help us find our agent. And he does. And he does a good job, and he locates people who claim to have him, and he works out a deal with the Iranian government leaders to get this man, an American, held hostage now for 4 years at that time, to be released. And the only thing that has to happen is Hillary Clinton's State Department has to write a letter and thank the Iranians and make some acknowledgement that the Iranians helped get this man back. And according to my reporting, her State Department refuses to do so. The trail goes cold. Today is the 12th anniversary of Robert Levinson's disappearance. He is still not back with his family. He is still in custody in Iran.
Why didn't they insist on that being part of the deal?
It is a great question. And today on our show, we had Robert Levinson's son, who was very, very critical of the Obama administration, saying they did not give my father a chance. They had every opportunity in 2016 to do that. This is, you know, President Trump has already brought some big hostages home. This is an important one to take a look at. He is the longest.
Do we know he's still, listen, I hate to ask this question. I don't want his family to be listening. Do we know he's alive?
Well, we have very hopeful signs because of a recent book written by the Washington Post reporter Jason Rezaian, who was in captivity in Iran, as you know, for 3 years, and he's one of the ones that Obama did bring home with the deal in 2016. He writes in his book and has said publicly in the last few days, I think he is alive. The Iranians would not kill him. He's too valuable to the United States. We hope that's true, and it gives the Levinson family, who was on my show today, a lot of hope, and they're very optimistic. And, you know, they made some nice sounds that maybe President Trump could do something. I think there's two things that President Trump could do. Certainly try to reengage with Iran, try to find out, demand our man back, but also declassify the documents and show the bumbling that went on in 2011 and in 2016. It is unbelievable that the United States did not get an accounting for an FBI agent held hostage in Iran as part of giving billions of dollars to the mullahs in the Iran nuclear deal. It's just remarkable, and it's an insult to his family.
It's beyond that amount of money. I mean, it's why we would ever give it to them based on a phony promise from people are pledging to destroy you. Let's go back to the Mueller potential conflict. Look, one of the things that frustrates me is that Steele's fired for lying and leaking, but he's back channeling to Bruce Ohr. Even when the special counsel's formed, and he's trying to communicate to Mueller's team through Bruce Ohr, and he's frustrated. Did you get the information to the SC, the special counsel?
Yes. Now,
that's problematic, John. That's problematic in a lot of ways.
I think there's a big clue, though. I have gone back over the last year, and last week. Remember, all these things kind of come out in sort of little episodic things. You have a drop of information here, a drop of information there. I went and did this the other day. I overlaid all of the stroke page text messages, all of the Bruce Ohr and Christopher Steele emails and messages, all of the contacts we knew with Fusion GPS, and there's a remarkable pattern. Somewhere early on in the Mueller investigation, the Mueller team just stopped caring about the Steele dossier. What does that tell you? Somebody figured out it was a bunch of bogus information, and Steele can't wave his balloon high enough in the air to get any attention. And it looks very clear that even Peter Stroke and Page are frustrated that their advice is no longer welcomed, and that Steele can't get in any way. In November, in the last contact, you can see Steele's frustration that he's been iced out by the FBI. Now, the FBI wanted to reengage with him. It becomes pretty clear.
Stay right there, because I want to know what you think this report now is going to be in light of the fact that they've given up on the dossier. What does that mean for the whatever final report is coming, whenever it's coming? Last question. You do have sources at the special counsel's office. You said they've stopped using the roadmap of the dossier, which means they don't believe it either anymore. What's the final report?
Yeah, we can see that in the public documents now. We can see that they just cut Steele off and they cut Stroke and Page off, and they wanted to go on their own path of evidence. You know, if we take the Senate Intelligence Committee and its chairman, Richard Burr, and the House Intelligence Committee chairman, Devin Nunes, at their word, it is highly, highly unlikely that there's any evidence of collusion, because the two intelligence committees that have access to all the golden jewels haven't found it. And I think you saw in yesterday's Manafort sentencing the frustration of the Mueller report prosecutor. That they acknowledged in court he didn't give them anything that would further the collusion case. That is a big sign to us, right? Listen, the only person who knows what's going to be in the report is Robert Mueller. I have been led to believe for some time now that the end is near, and that the finding of no collusion is going to, just like the House and Senate committees have said, at least the Republicans, that that's where Mueller is going to end up. That's based on people who have talked to him and evidence that have been seen by all the parties.
All right. Thanks so much, John Solomon. We're going to have a lot more on these new deep state developments tonight on Hannity, 9 Eastern, on the Fox News channel. These are explosive. This is huge. And by the way, I know a lot of you have been frustrated, as I have been. My sources are telling me, stay tuned, TikTok.
Things going on that I personally found to be troubling. I knew that something had to be done about it. And so I felt that the best thing to do was to inform the public, because they had a right to know.
This is Danny Ben-David, a software engineer. On his website, Ben-David writes, I am now working at Facebook as a software engineer. I'm part of the problem, I know. In the leaked documents our insider gave us, we came across a back-end view of Mike Cernovich's page. On it, we could see Ben-David running an action called Action Deboost Live Distribution. In fact, Ben-David wrote the code and may have invented the word deboost. Who is Danny Ben David?
From my understanding, Danny Ben David is a software engineer at Facebook. He did not work at the same location as me, but I noticed that every time I would see this deboost live stream kind of code on there, that his name was always next to it.
Action deboost appears after the word Sigma, which Project Veritas has learned is an artificial intelligence system to block potential suicide and self-harm posts. The Sigma code was written in 2017, and shortly thereafter, it seems deboost went political. And where did you see this deboost language when you were present in the Facebook facility? Where did you see this appear? On whose pages?
I would see it appear on several different conservative pages. I first noticed it with an account that I can't remember, but I remember once I started looking at it, I also saw it on Mike Cernovich's page, saw it on Steven Crowder's page, as well as the Daily Caller's page. So when things are taken down and like actually permanently deleted from Facebook, the user will typically get a notification. The user can respond to those notifications, and there are humans that actually read that. Mm-hmm. However, with these deboost live stream things, there was no warning sent to the user. These were actions that were being taken without the users knowing.
Did any of this show up on the task version of the Facebook back end? Did it show up in there anywhere there?
No. No tasks were created when these live stream deboosts would occur.
Did you check pages of people who are not conservative to see what it said?
Yes. At first, I was wondering whether this is something that I had, you know, a couple working theories. I was like, maybe this is an independent versus mainstream thing. Maybe independent figures on the left are experiencing the same kind of deboosting. Mm-hmm. But I didn't see that. I looked at the Young Turks page. I looked at Colin Kaepernick's page. Mm-hmm. None of them had received the same deboost comment on their account.
All right, 24 now till the top of the hour. Glad you're with us. 800-941-SHAWN, toll-free telephone number. So what you're listening to is the latest project from Project Veritas and James O'Keefe, which is what's happening here is he's exposing government fraud and corruption, which he's done. Now he's taking on the inner workings of Facebook, which we already know has, and some of these other big, massive companies, they are extraordinarily biased as it comes to conservatives. A Daily Mail piece was very thorough in writing about how Facebook actively suppresses posts from conservative media sources, according to the whistleblower, involved with the Project Veritas group. And that is problematic, especially when you look at it through the prism of campaigns. If Facebook, as big as it is, or any of these other major media mogul giants, they decide they want one candidate over another, the amount of influence they can wield over the minds of the American people is, it's breathtaking. It's game changing. It's potential election altering levels in some cases. Anyway, joining us is James O'Keefe, CEO, founder, Project Veritas. A little more confusing than what we would usually get from you, but this is so really deeply important because how many people are on Facebook?
That's right, Sean. There's 2 billion people in the world on Facebook, and this is a very important story because it involves someone who chose to lose her job. This is an individual working for Facebook. She saw things that were shocking, and she leaked us these documents, Sean. And in these documents, it shows that they are triggering special features, quote, leading up to an important election. They assign troll scores to people for using words that are, these are not racist words. These are words like mainstream media, lulls, normie, the sort of meme stuff that people post on Facebook that's not extreme at all. It's just the right has tended to appropriate memes and meme language. So she also showed us these documents where they were deboosting live stream videos from Steven Crowder, Mike Cernovich, and the Daily Caller website, politically motivated deboosting efforts. And people need to realize that you can spend all the money on local ad buys in the world in an election, but if Google, Facebook, and Twitter are deboosting, shadow banning, censoring, and the really outrageous thing about this story is that the deboosting, you don't know that you're being deboosted. It's one thing if your account gets taken down, you can protest it, you can get back up. But these efforts are done on the back end, and you just don't know that your tweets, that your, in this case, Facebook messages and posts to your other users' timelines are not showing up on their pages. You don't know that.
I mean, that's pretty amazing to me. That this insider in the company is literally demoting posts. How do they do that, and how do they not know that people are doing that, or do they know, and is it a wink and a nod and part of a strategy that they have?
Well, this is where things get very technical and in the weeds, but to summarize it, Facebook does a pretty good job, and this is, I saw it, Sean. I looked at it. The insider showed me at one time, and they do a pretty good job of policing. There are a lot of, there's 60,000 people who work for Facebook. There's a number of people that do bad things, take you down because you're a conservative, but you can protest that and get put back up. There's a notification. So there seems to be a pretty good job of policing that activity. But then there's this other part of Facebook, what's called content review, and a content review tool where these algorithms, this machine learning, basically converts video into text. So if you do a live stream video, it converts your video into text, and then it mines the text and finds certain keywords. And our insider believes that this was done for political purposes. It shows automatically on your video, and it gets downranked. You don't get as much boost on your video. Your video doesn't appear on other people's pages. And this is, and you can actually see the code. At Project Veritas, we actually took screenshots of the code, something called Action Deboost Live Distribution. And we even, Sean, confronted these engineers in San Francisco. I walked up to them and said, "Did you do this?" And they sort of ran away from me, as they always do. But we're trying to make this personal for people. It's not just, we're not just complaining about how these big tech companies are censoring people. We're showing you the code. We're talking to the engineers. And I can guarantee you, Sean, that everyone inside Facebook knows about what we've done because other tech people are coming to us now under the Be Brave campaign. People, our insiders, are coming to us wanting to blow the whistle on what's happening.
Well, I mean, that's amazing that they're saying, I mean, what do they think? They only hire liberals? I mean, is there some type of political litmus test at these companies that they, or they just assume that, you know, a young tech person is going to lean one way politically? First of all, it's pretty naive. And what I have learned is as soon as people start making any money in life and they start paying taxes in life, they pretty quickly become a little more conservative.
Well, I think, Sean, the issue is as long as you have human beings in rooms making subjective determinations about what they should censor, in this case, this engineer, his name is Seiji Yamamoto. He's a senior engineer at Facebook, and he made the determination that we need to focus on hate speech, not just hate speech, but what is the, quote, perimeter of hate speech. Well, what does that even mean? I mean, what does perimeter of hate speech mean? So as long as you have people who are designing codes and troll scores that's downranking your content based upon some subjective determination about what the perimeter of hate speech is, you're going to have these problems. And it's not an easy problem to solve. I think the solution is these companies should be transparent. They certainly shouldn't lie under oath. Mark Zuckerberg last spring went in front of Congress and said, "We make no determinations about any political speech. We don't even do that." And these documents show them doing it. These documents show troll reports banning certain words. If you use words like mainstream media, that means you're a problem. So I just want these companies to be honest about what their philosophy is and how they got. And then some people say, "Well, James, these are private companies." I say, well, yes and no, because everything gets funneled through their system. So we have to be aware of that as well.
I mean, the idea that they also similarly, according to conservatives and, you know, with hospitality suites and saying the right things to conservatives and conservative groups, but behind the scenes, you're getting the information that says otherwise is nuts.
Well, and this CPAC was last week, and this is the first time that Google and Facebook did did not appear at CPAC the year before. They were there. They had hospitality suites. They had an information desk. But I think that where the line is drawn in the sand is they have to be honest and transparent about what they are doing. And this Be Brave campaign, Sean, this projectveritas.com/brave, there are people inside of these companies who are so disgusted by what they are seeing, that they are actually coming forward. This young woman who blew the whistle on Facebook lost her job and went on food stamps for a few months. I mean, she worked in content review, and she was disgusted. And I found her, and she showed me the stuff, and I asked her, was it worth it, all this stuff you went through? She said, absolutely, because I found what the company was doing was wrong. So I hope her example is an inspiration to others. Some people come to us from your show. They're listening to this program right now. They're on the inside of a Google or of the government, and they want to blow the whistle.
By the way, how do people get in touch with you over these things?
Well, the website is projectveritas.com/brave, and they can contact us there through our encrypted messaging if they send us a note.
But you do know that liberals listen to the show, and they monitor every second of every minute, every hour that I speak in the hopes that they can take me down. So you know that they may send spies to you.
Well, we have to vet those people, and we have a very sophisticated process of making sure that that does not happen to us. But yes, well, we understand that
Projectveritas.com, and if you want, you know, people can give you information. This is important stuff, and this is so powerful. 2 billion people is a lot of people, and if one political view is favored over another, and between the different algorithms and philosophies behind it, it could be extraordinarily impactful in a negative way in terms of the electorate. And I mean, we better get a hold of it now before 2020, because if you think Hillary's Russian collusion dossier was bad enough, it'll only get worse if they bring this on steroids. But as always, thank you, James O'Keefe. We appreciate you being with us. We'll continue to follow your stories and the issues you're uncovering. And thanks for what you do.
Thanks, Sean.
All right, as we continue, Sean Hannity Show News Roundup, Information Overload, by the way, coming up next hour. We got a lot we're going to get to. And Laura Trump is going to join us. So stay tuned for that. You know more about all of these social media platforms than I do. All I used to do is tweet, because that was the only thing. I'm so dumb technically that I can't figure anything else out. But I don't even do the tweeting anymore. I let you and everybody else put the news items up there, because I decided I'm not going to fight anymore. It is a full-time job fighting.
Yeah, it's not fun anymore. And I mean, literally, they're just waiting for something to pounce on every 5 seconds.
You know, but 2 billion people is a lot of people. So if they're suppressing conservative voices, I mean, and they're being told by the people that do it, that know about it, why did they deny it publicly?
I'll be honest with you, too. It's not just that. If we look at Facebook, if we look at Google, if we look at Twitter, you know, they're all doing the same thing, which is, you know, they're denying the public the right to hear both sides.
Now, we had the guy from Twitter on. He seemed like a really nice guy. Then until he went out and trashed me right after.
I don't think that he trashed you. I think the problem with Jack is that Jack is trying to make everybody happy. And at some point when you're in business, you need to realize that you're going to tick people off. It's just, when is that going to happen? And, you know, Jack also got removed from that company. He was in that company. They put him out to pasture for about 4 to 5 years. He came back and his algorithm have changed. So he's in the process of trying to finagle that back to where it needs to be. And that's a big part of the problem, too, is that there's a lot of folks doing this and you can't even pinpoint who it is because they're going in and actually changing the algorithms internally. So they'd have to do some deep diving inside the company to find out who's really doing it.
All right, we got to take a break here. We'll come back. We have our news roundup, Information Overload Hour next. All the other news of the day. Oh, you know what we didn't get to? I want to play this R. Kelly bizarre interview with Gayle King. I want to just, we have more deep state developments, huge developments, as this congressman has unloaded what is a bombshell. The testimony didn't, he's got sick of the DOJ and he just did it on his own. And we're doing side by side comparisons tonight on TV. Oh, there are lies. We got to decide which one's lying. We'll explain coming up.
Coming up next, our final news roundup and Information Overload Hour.
All right, News Roundup, Information Overload Hour, toll free. A number, we'll get to your calls this half hour, 800-941-SEAN. You want to be a part of the program. We got an awesome Hannity tonight. I'm going to explain it all. We have a congressman that has shown more courage today than a lot of Republican congressmen than I have seen in a long time. And it's Georgia Congressman Doug Collins. And you know what? He's sick and tired of waiting for the Justice Department that has been obfuscating and delaying and frankly hiding from the public important information as it relates to the testimony given by varying people. And in one case, we now know, he released the deposition of Bruce Orr, and we know in one case it directly contradicts exactly what Glenn Simpson of Fusion GPS said. Now, we're doing a deep dive into this. We're looking for all the contradictions, and we're going to have him on Hannity tonight. One thing that happened this week that we didn't get to, and I know it's off the beaten path a little bit for what we do, but I'm not a fan of rap music or really some of the really dark heavy metal music. I mean,
music past 1985.
All right, are you done?
Always.
No, well, like for example, I like Metallica. You know, Sandman. I can deal with that. But they've got some pretty dark songs, and I'm like, I don't want to listen to music in here just banging and anger and, you know, it, but it has, you know, obviously a huge following. Rap has a huge following. I get it. My kids play music, and I literally want to blow my brains out and just say, turn it off. And then they put it in their ears, and I'm like, don't you see what's happened to your father with headphones? I'm deaf. If I can hear it out of your headphones, you're going to go deaf like your father. And I'm not deaf, obviously, but I, you know, anybody that has had radio cans, headphones on for 30 years, you just, it's just par for the course. Scott Shannon, Don Imus, Bob Grant, Rush has had his hearing problems. He just can't do radio and not naturally put up the volume. It just is the way it works. Don't we have to use an amplifier now for my headphones when I'm on the road?
People come into our studio like when we were in Vietnam and we were surrounded by the guests that were on site with us. And everybody came in. They were like, you're just testing that, right? I'm like, no. That's how he listens to it. And they didn't believe me. They all thought I was lying. You walked in the room, you put the headphones on, you started talking. And they all looked at me. I was like, told you. It's no joke, man.
Listen, it is what it is. It's funny because I hear certain voices, certain pitches and cadences and tones much
like
better than
others.
Like your
nagging producer, you hear her really
No,
loudly.
I hear you loud and clear. Right? But you know, my daughter is very soft-spoken. So we'll be in the car together and she's talking. I constantly have to say, MK, you got to turn your head in my direction and speak louder. I mean, because I can't hear it. I just
can't. Yeah, but
can't.
She talks really, really quietly. Like, she's an extreme example. Even when we had her on the air and her girlfriends were here, I was like, oh, my word.
Yeah, this is our, hi, Daddy. Hi, Daddy. And I'm like,
no,
what?
It's even lower than that. Hi, Daddy.
Yeah, I mean, which I love because, you know, I love my little girl. But, you know, long story short, it's so everyone has their taste of music. Fine. I don't like my kids' taste of music. My parents didn't hear me listening so much to music as it was talk radio. They went nuts. Turn that radio off at 12 midnight. They go absolutely crazy. You know, taking my radio away was the worst thing they could do to me. I'd rather take the belt and get the beating and get my radio back. Anyway, so there was an interview. So I don't know music is what I'm saying. So I don't know a whole lot about R. Kelly. I don't know a lot about the industry. And obviously a big, popular, successful singer, right? And so he's being charged with having underage sex, and he goes in with an interview with Gail King, who hosts the CBS morning show. I thought she did an amazing job with it personally, and it got crazy. Standing up, he's like punching himself. It just was out of control. Listen to this.
So I think the point you're making is, and correct me if I'm wrong, that you have never held anybody against their will.
I don't need to. Why would I?
Well, I'm
how stupid would it
never
be
held
for
anybody.
R. Kelly, with all I've been through in my way, way past, to hold somebody, let alone 4, 5, 6, 50, you said. How stupid would I be to do that?
I didn't say you
were
holding.
That's stupid, guys.
I didn't.
Is this camera on me?
Yes, it's on.
That's stupid. Use your common sense. Don't forget the blogs. Forget how you feel about me. Hate me if you want to. Love me if you want. But just use your common sense. How stupid would it be for me to, with my crazy past and what I've been through, oh, right now I just think I need to be a monster and hold girls against their will, chain them up in my basement, and don't let them eat and don't let them out unless they need some shoes down the street from their uncle. Robert, stop it. Y'all quit playing. Quit playing. Robert. I didn't do this stuff. This is not me. I'm fighting for my life. Y'all killing me with this. I gave y'all 30 years of my career.
Robert.
30 years of my career. Y'all trying to kill me. You killing me, man. This is not about music. I'm trying to have a relationship with my kids, and I can't do it. What? Y'all just don't want to believe the truth. You don't want to believe it.
Azriel Clary, what can you tell? What is your relationship with her?
Right now, I'm seeing her.
You are seeing her?
Yeah, she's 21. I'm seeing her.
She's 21?
Yeah.
But did you start seeing her at 17?
Absolutely not.
Did you have sex with her when she was 17?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Although her parents wanted me to.
No, her parents claim they have text messages that show that you had sex with her when she was 17.
Claim.
So you're saying you did not have sex with her when she was 17?
Absolutely not.
You are with two women right now. You love them. They say they love you. What kind of love is it that keeps these young women away from their families? Their families are saying...
These?
I'm talking right now about Jocelyn.
Because you know,
and
I'm going to answer your question.
What kind of love is that?
What kind of father, what kind of mother will sell their daughter to a man?
Who did that?
How come it was okay for me to see them until they wasn't getting no money from it? Why would you take your daughter, if I were going to take my daughter and she's 19 years old to a 49-year-old icon, whatever, celebrity or R. Kelly concert or whoever it is, I'm not going to put her on the stage and leave her. I'm going to take her to the concert. Their father is more into my music and know about my music than they do.
You're saying the parents handed their daughters, Azriel and Jocelyn, over to you? Is that what you're saying to us?
Absolutely. Are the cameras still going?
Yes.
Absolutely. I'm going to tell you something, Gail. There's one
situation. What women said about you?
What women said about me? What women? So nobody's allowed to be mad at me and be scorned and lie on me.
So they're lying on you. That's your explanation. They're lying on you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Absolutely.
You feel that people have maligned your character?
I have been assassinated. I have been buried alive. But I'm alive.
What is your relationship with them?
I love them, and it's almost, it's like they're my girlfriends. It's like, you know, we have a relationship. It's real. And I know guys, like, I've known guys all my life to have 5 or 6 women, okay? So don't go there on me, okay? Because that's the truth.
The fact that they're much younger than you.
I don't look at much younger than me. I just look at legal. I just look at you're you, I'm me. Now, I don't know if you're married. I don't know. I don't know if you had a relationship. I don't know what you know, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But one might be older than the other. Mm-hmm. One might be younger than the other. Okay, so I just look at legal, okay? People, there are older men that like younger women.
Is that
true? There are younger women that like older men.
Are you an older man that likes younger women?
I'm an older man that love all women.
Okay. You know what they say? They say that you were brainwashed. I talked to your dad last night. He says, my daughter is brainwashed, and he's very concerned. He said he was here 2 days ago, and you wouldn't even look him in the eye.
Okay, I wouldn't look him in the eye because he's a liar, and he's a manipulative liar.
I'll tell you why they're concerned, Azriel, because they say she's 17. We found text messages that indicated that she was having sex with R. Kelly when she was 17. Is that true?
No, that is a lie. That is a lie. I was not having sex with him at 17.
Why would they want to lie about you, their daughter?
Okay, so when I first met Robert, my parents told me to lie about my age. So when I met him, he thought that I was 18. On top of that, when I was 17, my parents were actually making me, trying to get me to take photos with him, take sexual videos with him, all kinds of stuff.
Wait. Your parents encouraged you to do sexual videos with R. Kelly?
Yes. And they said, because if they ever have to blackmail him, what they're trying to do now, they can use it against him, which is exactly what they're doing.
Joycelyn, I see you nodding a lot with what she's saying. Why are you nodding in agreement with what she's saying?
Because everything that she's saying is true.
Our parents are basically out here just to get money. And
your parents, you're saying the same as saying?
Well, both of our parents are basically out here to trying to get money and scam because they didn't agree on what happened, you know, with music or wherever it could be. And they're just very upset.
Wow. Linda, I'm looking at your faces. You hear this. First, he goes nuts in this interview. I really think, I've been doing this 30 years. That was not an easy interview for Gayle King, and she really deserves a lot of credit for her handling of this, number one. Number two, what he said, that the parents wanted this, then the kids saying they wanted to blackmail the guy and that they were setting all this up when they were underage. I don't know. What are your thoughts on this?
I got to be honest. I mean, I'm really confused. I mean, the girls are defending him and going against their parents. And I'm just not, I mean, I'd have to see all the bank transfers and see how much money the parents actually got, how he's been taking care of them and so on and so forth. You know, one of the things in our country is that children that are underage can't do things without their parents' consent. So, I mean, it's pretty scary to think that their parents sold them into sex slavery. I mean, that's just insane.
That's the whole bizarre thing. And then they're claiming that they have text messages that prove they had sex when the girls were underage. But they said 17. Now, I know there's different state laws on age of consent, right? Didn't we go through this with the Roy Moore? Remember I had the Roy Moore interview?
Yes.
And I, one of the strangest interviews I've ever done in my life, too.
Yes, agreed.
Because I was asking him, well, you know, was it your regular practice? Not regular practice. Did you ever? Well, not without the parents' permission. And I'm like, you're 30-some-odd years old. Why would you ever be dating a girl in her teens?
But remember, too, like, remember Elvis? I mean, how old was his wife when he married her? She was, like, 14 years old or something when they started dating. And I think he married her at the legal consent age at that time was 16.
What was that?
Priscilla.
Priscilla Presley, right.
Priscilla
yeah.
Presley. And, I mean, it was a very strange thing.
And how old was he at the time?
I think he was 30. I'd have to look it up, but I mean, it's a very strange thing. It's like, okay, if you're 30,
it's just too young. I don't understand it.
But again, it's just one of those things where it's a different time. I don't understand it. You don't understand it. But that seemed to be almost common practice at one point in our
Kelly
history.
R. Kelly got into a marriage with a girl at the age of 14. She was 14, and that was in the 1990s.
Wow. All right, got to take a quick break. We'll come back more on this R. Kelly issue. Laura Trump at the bottom of this half hour as we continue on this busy breaking news day on a Friday and an unbelievable Hannity tonight. We're going to start now blowing things wide open again. All right, we continue. We're talking about this strange case, this interview with R. Kelly. I don't know what to make of. I mean, I get a different feeling about people's reactions. Now, I remember I always say that if you go to a funeral, and I hate the fact that Irish Catholics, you always wake the body for 3 days and you're sitting there staring at a dead body. And you look around the room and there's going to be people at any given moment laughing, telling stories, having fun, having a drink. Others, you know, in tears the entire time and you can't console them. Others in and out, tears, then laughter. And I just never judge anybody's reaction because, you know, people handle things differently. And just because somebody's not crying doesn't mean they're not hurting inside. Now, if you're accused of something, now look at the way Kavanaugh reacted in his hearings. You know, having been accused, we now know, of falsely, you know, being involved in almost weekly gang rapes. In that particular case, the sweatneck charge in particular. And look at R. Kelly's response. You know, I would be somebody that would issue a strong, absolute screw you, never happened denial. But then other people think, well, they shouldn't respond. Doesn't necessarily mean they didn't do it. What did you think? Did you find it believable or?
You know, I find that anybody, you know, he's a performer. This is what he does for a living. He makes you believe every song, you know, that he believes every word and that he's, you know, all about entertaining. So I think he's a very good actor. And I think that these girls are very young and now he's become a big part of their lives. And I don't know that they are even making proper decisions anymore based upon poor parenting and a negative influence like him.
Yeah, unbelievable. 800-941-SHAWN, toll-free telephone number. You want to be a part of this extravaganza. By the way, Laura Trump is going to stop by at the bottom of this half hour. All right, 25 now until the top of the hour. Glad you're with us. Hannity tonight, 9 Eastern, on the Fox News Channel. Democrats now giving in to the most radical elements in their party, the same party that has now made a decision that there is nothing they plan on doing for the next 2 years, as they have now empowered 8 separate committees to go after Donald Trump on every aspect of his life. Now, they don't have anything. The general feeling is zero evidence of any collusion of any type. So, okay, that narrative has fallen apart. We spent 2 years lying to the American people and pushing conspiracy theories onto the American people. Now that that's not working, rather than apologize and admit that we were wrong the whole time and we reported many, many things in the course of this 2 year period that were false, you know, maybe we should look at the real corruption, the phony dossier, the rigged investigation, where even the general counsel under James Comey, James Baker, wanted to indict Hillary Clinton, but that would have meant their favorite candidate wouldn't have made it till November as the opponent of Donald Trump in 2016. Maybe lying to FISA courts in a conspiracy to commit fraud on the court to deny a fellow American their constitutional rights. And then, of course, using the propaganda and a phony bought and paid for Russian dossier. That's pretty interesting. It's also interesting the head of the committee investigating so-called Russia collusion is not willing to accept the findings of Robert Mueller. But he himself, as chairman, Adam Schiff, is on an audio call with someone that he believes is a Russian, actually is a Russian, but it was a hoaxer, and he is conspiring to get and dig up dirt on Donald Trump. The very bad thing that he's supposedly investigating happening in 2016. I don't know. I've never seen a wider net cast. It's like, okay, let's just look at everything and hope something sticks, because we don't like the results of the election. Laura Trump is with us. She is, you know, I guess you're the chairman, right, of Re-Elect Trump 2020, Keep America Great?
Well, I am the senior advisor to the Donald J. Trump for President campaign for 2020, and it's great to be on with you, Sean, but, you know, you're exactly right. This is all about people still being upset that Hillary Clinton did not win and did not become the president of the United States. It is so outlandish what we have seen happen. And I can tell you, as a family and as someone who was involved in the campaign in 2016, we have been saying from the beginning, Sean, this is crazy. There was no collusion with Russia. We were so proud of how grassroots our campaign was in 2016. We were like the little engine that could, because nobody believed in us, but we knew we had the American people behind us. And it is so appalling what we have seen happen. And even though Michael Cohen himself, who was supposed to be the smoking gun for the Democrats, came out and said there was no Russian collusion, the Mueller report's going to show that. They're still trying to find anything they can, and it's so shocking. I still can't believe it.
You know, let's start at the beginning, though, because, you know, there was an effort. We now know, because of real investigative work, we know that James Comey and Peter Strzok were writing Hillary's exoneration long before they ever interviewed her or interviewed any of the witnesses involved. We know that Comey's general counsel believed, yeah, she should have been indicted for violating the Espionage Act, as so many of us have been pointing out. Certainly the strongest case of obstruction, with not handing over subpoenaed emails and then erasing everything with bleach bit and hammers. But more importantly, there is some Russia collusion here. And that is the funneled money through a law firm to hire Fusion GPS to hire Christopher Steele. Now, the FBI is saying that they verified what was in the dossier. Andrew McCabe said it, that he's comfortable with the amount of verification that took place. But the problem with that, Laura, is how could he possibly verify that which the dossier author, Christopher Steele, doesn't believe himself? And now things have been proven false again and again. So they used Hillary's bought and paid for Russian lies, first to leak to the public before the election, then to bludgeon your father-in-law after the election. And when are these people going to get held accountable?
I mean, the double standard and the hypocrisy is so crazy. And there's the Russian collusion. And I know you say it on your show all the time, Sean. There was Russian collusion. It was on behalf of Hillary Clinton's campaign and this dossier and all of these things. And can you imagine, by the way, if Donald Trump were the one who destroyed 30,000 emails and after he was told not to touch them, could you imagine what they would do to him? That is a real problem. That is breaking the law. That actually happened and was admitted by Hillary Clinton, and yet no repercussions whatsoever to be felt by her at all. I don't understand how people can look at this objectively and not see what's going on here. And I always wonder, when history reflects back on this time, how crazy are these Democrats going to look? Because history really is where everything gets sorted out. And I always say, when history reflects on Donald Trump, he'll go down as the greatest president this country has ever had, and at least one of them. And he's going to be exonerated, and our whole family will be exonerated, although, you know, God knows they lie about all of us all the time. But when you look back on these things now, several years out, it already smells so bad, and it's obviously a huge problem and a huge miss, and clearly somebody needs to pay for this. Someone needs to answer for these things, but no one is there to do it. No one is even trying to have these answers given, because they're all too focused on finding anything to take down the president. So now they've gone out and sent out more subpoenas. They're looking for anything. I mean, when is this going to stop? We have the answer to the Russian collusion narrative that they tried to push for so long. And because that didn't work, now they're going to look for any and everything they can. It's disgusting. And, you know, unfortunately, this is the kind of thing that's going to deter good people from running for president one day.
Who would ever want to put their family through this? I mean, just look at the things that have been said about you, about Ivanka, about Melania. Even they've attacked your you know, little the president's youngest son, Barron, who was 10, yep. 11. They're attacking a little kid repeatedly. And then it's just 24/7. I mean, here's a perfect example. So the night in prime time on two cable networks, obviously not Fox. So the president has a historic summit during prime time. That meaning 8 to 11 is considered prime time in cable news and in news in TV in general. And combined, two networks spent 12 minutes, that's it, on the historic summit, and nearly 500 minutes in covering Michael Cohen. That's what they prioritize. Just as all of them have been wrong about Trump-Russia collusion from the beginning, and instead of admitting it, getting better, acknowledging it, they just go right on to the next conspiracy theory, whatever it is that Jerry Nadler and Adam Schiff are going to cook up in their committees.
And guess what they gave zero time to? Absolutely no network reported on the infanticide situation that we have going on in this country. The fact that there are politicians and states around this country that want to have a child born and then do nothing for it to keep it alive if a mom was going to abort the baby.
Now, this is
that
what the governor of Virginia
no
said.
Coverage.
If a mother is in labor, I can tell you exactly what would happen. The infant would be delivered. The infant would be kept comfortable. The infant would be resuscitated if that's what the mother and the family desired. And then a discussion would ensue between the physicians and the mother.
That's called murder. That's infanticide.
It's disgusting, and it's so crazy that we're even having a conversation about this. Let's not forget, by the way, this man that said those things is also the one that was found with someone in a KKK uniform in blackface and is still the governor of Virginia right now. Because as you pointed out opening this segment, when it comes to anti-Semitism, when it comes to racism of any kind, the Democrats are complete hypocrites. Nobody's done anything about this guy. He's still the governor of Virginia. I don't even know what's going on. How is this possible? It's crazy.
Or the lieutenant governor. Now, remember how they reacted with Judge Kavanaugh and, you know, apparently, you know, allegations from when he's in high school, go back 30, 40 years, whatever it happened to be. And here we have a sitting governor that is being charged with rape and sexual assault. And I don't hear one of the people that said, I believe, in terms of the women with Kavanaugh, nobody's saying, I believe the women making allegations against the lieutenant governor. And the rape victim in particular told people at the time that have come out and corroborated it was told at the time. Something missing in the Kavanaugh hearings.
Yeah, and but this is the standard on the left. They are all talk and no action, and they love to hear themselves talk, but when it comes down to things that really matter, you know, if any of these people who are so big on the Me Too movement wanted to sit down and talk about things at our southern border, 1 in 3 women who try to cross our southern border are raped and sexually assaulted. Where are those people out there? Where are the feminists championing trying to fix our problem at our southern border? Why hasn't that come up? But the problem is they don't really care. These are all sound bites for them. It's all things that sound good and make people feel good, but at the end of the day, they don't care and they do nothing because they're power hungry and all they care about is keeping the Democrat Party in power no matter how many people it hurts. And that's the bottom line.
You know, at different times I've hired Joe DeGeneva and Victoria Tunsing. If you're in the public eye, you need lawyers to work for you a lot of times. And they're two of the smartest, brightest, toughest people that I know. And Joe DeGeneva said the other day, he goes, you know what? Any of these 80-some-odd people that are going to be called in for this fishing expedition, I mean, it's such a wide net now they cast. They want tax returns. They want every bit of information on any charitable group that the Trumps have ever been a part of. They want to investigate, I don't know, maybe what Donald Trump said when he was 6 years old. And DeGeneva said, you know what? Everybody should just plead the fifth and not participate. And because it's like McCarthyism now. This is modern day, you know, are you or have you ever been a supporter of Donald Trump? Because if you like the president, and by the way, his successful policies, the 5.5 million new jobs, we're now energy independent, North Korea not firing rockets, he's going to get the wall built as we now, Congress won't be able to override his veto, so he'll have the monies to build it or continue to build it. I like all the success. I like the economic records for a lot of Americans that were left behind in the Obama years, African Americans, Asian Americans, Hispanic Americans, women in the workplace. I like that happening. I'm not sick of winning at all.
Well, I'm not sick of winning either, and neither is the country. But what you see them doing with these crazy subpoenas they sent out, actually, they sent one to my husband and asked him for a record of all of his conversations with, wait for it, Sean, Vladimir Putin, who Eric has never met, has never spoken to, has never had any contact with. But they're looking for any and everything, and DeGeneva is 100% right. No one should be talking to these people because all they care about is getting people to perjure themselves. They want to send people to jail. They don't care why. They want you to perjure yourself on the stand in some way. They want you to trip up and slip up.
Well, I actually have evidence of Russian collusion.
Yeah,
well, we know about Hillary, but no, I've got audio evidence. This is Adam Schiff talking to Russians conspiring to dig up dirt on Donald Trump. Listen.
Okay, and so Buzova met with Trump in New York at some point after the 2013 Miss Universe pageant.
Well, there were pictures of naked Trump.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And so Putin was made aware of the availability of the compromising material?
Yes, of course. Buzova shared those materials with Sobchak, and Sobchak shares those materials with Putin because she's a goddaughter of Putin, and Putin decided to press on Trump.
And the materials that you can provide to the committee or to the FBI, would they corroborate this allegation?
Sure, of course. When they were in Ukraine, we got their conversation by the phone where they discussed those compromising materials. We are ready to provide it to FBI.
So you have recordings of both Sovchek and Buzova where they're discussing the compromising material on Mr. Trump?
Absolutely.
Yeah, the compromising materials. Pictures of naked Trump.
I like
Trump.
Your Russian accent.
Pictures of naked Trump. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, what is that? That sounds to me like they're colluding to dig up dirt with the Russians on Donald Trump. And the same people that claim outrage that Donald Trump said, hey, Russia, release what you got, when he was really just kidding.
Yeah. And as always, think about if the reverse of this happened. Think about if anyone even remotely related to the campaign. As there was a recording that sounded like this.
All right, Laura Trump, thank you. We got an amazing Hannity tonight. All the excuses for anti-Semitism. I mean, it's mind-blowing. On top of the insane policies of the Democrats. Also, there is New Life, a deep dive, the Bruce Orr transcript revealed. We will go over all of it in detail. And yeah, things are happening. That's the good news. All right. So that's tonight at 9, Hannity, Fox News. Hope you'll join us. Have a great weekend. We'll see you back here on Monday.